Well, welcome, Janet Baker. I don't need to say anything about your many contributions to speech science and to speech recognition, but and I know you're very familiar with the project that that you are so much a part of, but nevertheless, I'd like to start, as we have most of our interviews, by asking you how you personally got involved in the study of speech.
As many times as we've asked that question, I hadn't really come up with an answer to that myself. But the answer has to do with my interest in information processing, initially in the visual system, when I was still an undergraduate, and working in graduate school, first at Rockefeller University, with visual systems, and realizing that I didn't understand the signal well enough. That is a biologically meaningful signal, not just square waves or bursts or things like that, but signals that are meaningful to the organisms trying to process them. And it turns out that using the kinds of algorithms that it made sense to try to use to exploit information, understanding information processing as well as possible, it made sense to back off from the visual signal down to an auditory signal, because you back off from 3 to 2 dimensions down to 1 dimension so that you don't square or cube all the computations that you're doing to do processing. So that's sort of how, that was part of the reason from a signal processing point of view. And also, speech itself was important because it's the only communicatory signal that you really know what the message means when you're decoding it, as compared to, say, other kinds of animal vocalizations, such as bird song or whale vocalizations, that I had also looked at in that time frame.
So how did this interest then specifically lead you to a formal study of the subject?
Well, I was interested initially in the neurophysiology of how the ear or the eye would process meaningful signals coming in. But then I came to realize and understand that people did not have a good understanding of what the signal itself was composed of. And speech recognition as a field is basically trying to be able to understand a speech signal well enough that you can decode what it means when you look at the signal itself. So I basically moved from the neurophysiological information and cortical processing down to the signal processing itself of the speech signal to try to understand where the information was and how to characterize it.
So now, about when was this going on, and where were you in your studies?
Well, I'd started looking at whale vocalizations, probably in as a beginning student at Rockefeller University in 1969, and rapidly progressed to looking at bird vocalizations, and then to speech, in particular in conjunction with a collaboration that I had with Jerry Letfin in his lab at MIT in the Research Laboratory of Electronics. So that was in the 69-70 time frame.
Right. And at that point you were studying?
I was a graduate student at Rockefeller during the regular school year, and I was a research affiliate at the at RLE at MIT in the summers, 69-70 and 71, in that time frame. I was making that transition from visual information processing to auditory processing, and then to speech recognition.
And this is to human speech recognition?
For human speech recognition, because you can, you know what the message is that you're looking for. So you've got a rigorous way of assessing if you've actually understood. If you can get a machine to be able to characterize the signal well enough and identify the underlying words that are being spoken, for example, then you know that you've got a proof positive that you're correct. It doesn't show that's the only way you can do it, of course, but it shows that it is a valid way of doing it.
So what next? What was the sort of next steps?
Well, I
for you,
I in the process, I met Jim Baker, who was also a graduate fellow at Rockefeller University, and he was became interested in the problem that I was dealing with, and I in particular was looking at neurophysiologically oriented methods, especially in the time domain, for understanding signals using a phase locking kind of paradigm. And in effect, in that time frame, there just weren't very powerful computers that were available in a general way at Rockefeller University. That did change later, but not in that time frame. And to make a long story short, turns out Jim and I independently knew and had worked with both Marvin Minsky and Seymour Papert, who were visiting for a year at Rockefeller University. And apparently, one or both of them were in a taxi cab with Alan Newell, who was at in the computer science department at Carnegie Mellon University, whom we knew by reputation, but not otherwise. And one day, Alan Newell called us on the telephone. Jim and I had become married by then, in October of 1971, and said, I understand you guys are doing some interesting work, and how would you like to call one of our young professors out here at Carnegie Mellon University? His name is Raj Reddy, and he gave us a phone number, said, sure. Called him. Raj said, well, I understand you guys are doing some interesting work. Why don't you come out here and each give a seminar on it? And Jim, in that time frame, had been working for some time at the Institute for Defense Analysis in Princeton as a part-time job, and full-time, I think, during certain periods. And he was very interested and had been exploring hidden Markov models in particular, and had learned a lot about that class of algorithm and from Lenny Baum and other people at IDA. And so he, in fact, had a fully developed model of how you'd go about doing speech recognition, incorporating different sources of knowledge. And so he went out and he gave his talk on that, and I gave my talk on the time domain signal processing. And as a consequence, the computer science department at Carnegie Mellon offered to give us credit for all of our distribution and other requirements, doctoral exam requirements that we had already completed at Rockefeller University, and to accept us into their doctoral program in computer science with fellowships and so forth. And they were extremely accommodating. I must give Raj Reddy credit in particular, because he listened to both Jim's presentations about, you know, this new approach for doing speech recognition. He listened to mine about this new approach for doing signal processing. And he said, you know, frankly, I don't believe necessarily that either of these is really going to work. But, you know, it's your thesis. And basically, he gave us the latitude to pursue seriously what we were very excited about pursuing, and gave us as much resource as we could wrangle from the computer science department. In that period of time, there were two DEC PDP-10s that were shared resources, and we ended up utilizing a lot of that resource.